This segment of the Henry Rain Show is brought to you by Bike Federal, the Bitcoin ATM company, bringing Bitcoin to a location near you. Trying to get into Bitcoin but don't know where to start? Bike Federal ATMs make it easy. Safe, secure, and reliable, a Bike Federal ATM introduces you to cryptocurrency investing with a method you're familiar with at a real physical location.
Money is power. The power to control the money is one that is now in the hands of those who weak, and we can't function without them. So how can we do something? Working hard to get a raise, lifting that wage up. Inflation takes it like a hidden taxation. Created interest rates to get the bank ready to create money with the loans that they're giving out daily. That means our money's in debt, and we gotta pay back more than 100%. No wonder then why the middle class is going under when the ones above them gotta cover income to collect. And many have no access to banking, making payments or saving, so more fees are taken. Every day the gatekeepers are trying to stop change. We cannot wait. Welcome to the blockchain.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Henry Rain Show here on WWPR 1490 AM. Heard every Saturday, 12:05 PM until about 1 o'clock, or maybe a little longer even, as we look at the weekly roundup of Bitcoin, cryptocurrency, and blockchain news talk and other nonsense that you may hear coming out of our mouth here. Well, another week record high for Bitcoin. And as we're talking about the price for Bitcoin, has the divorce between the Bitcoin and the altcoin prices been finalized as we see diversion in that market? Also, another major development in the cryptocurrency world, Ledger X begins the first sale of cryptocurrency derivatives on a U.S. exchange. And if you're really quiet, you can hear the footsteps of elephants. Or are they dinosaurs? Well, we're going to sort through all those teasers in just a moment. And we have a full panel here today, but I do know we need to tell you that the crypto noob girl, Colleen, is only temporarily away this week, and she is out representing Twitter, cryptocurrency, and other important items right now. But I have heard a rumor, just a rumor. You know, President Trump has Mar-a-Lago. They have Camp David. Richard Nixon had the Western White House, and Ronald Reagan had his ranch, and so did George Bush. But when the brain trust of the Henry Rain Show needs to get away, it's Mocha Joe's over on Cortez Road and around approximately 34th Street, across from the Taco Bell, behind the McDonald's. You'll see, because the brain waves will be generating almost to the point where you can see that. But let's go ahead and get in on all the people here that are here to help us. And first of all, Solus Digital Assets. Alex Solus is with us now. Good afternoon, Al.
How's everybody doing?
Doing well. Hope you are, too. Also, his analysis and columns are up on TradingView.com, and you can find it there. Goldbug1, also known as Andy. Good afternoon, Andy.
Good afternoon, Henry. I appreciate being here again, and I'm just disappointed. I took a shower and everything here thinking that Colleen was coming in today. I'm just, you know, I'm heartbroken.
I won't even tell you what Augie was doing to prepare.
I'm thinking maybe that's why she didn't come in.
No. I know she is a big Augie fan. We'll let you know what's going on with Augie this week also in just a moment. But first, he's sort of a surprise guest each week, a man of mystery. Sometimes he's here, sometimes he's not. Sometimes he's just a disembodied voice on the radio. Well, that means one of two people. And in this case, it's the chief technical officer for Bite Federal, and we want to thank him for being here, and also thank he and Lee for signing on as a sponsor of the Henry Rain Show. Good afternoon, Leonard.
Thanks, Henry, for having me back.
Okay. Well, let's see what's going on with that microphone now. Let's have one more hello from you.
Hello? Can you hear me? Hello, hello?
That sounded good.
Okay.
I guess our levels are a little different here on these mics, but at least they're working. And then finally, after who knows how long an absence, the contrarian's back, but his music isn't. Augie, you're back?
I guess. I think that lots of things are going to happen. We were just talking prior to the beginning of the show that this is 1987 all over again, very possibly. 1987, for those of you who don't know, it was an inducement.
Or weren't alive.
Well, some of you were alive and some of you weren't, but you were well thought of prior to your time. In any event, we can thank 1987 for the great Ronald Reagan. He defunded the SNLs and created the crash, and it came like thunder and bolts of lightning. So now we have the chance of that same circumstance with the removal of the head of the Treasury, and what will that do to Bitcoin? And I think we have some real opinions around this panel.
And we'll find out all that and more coming up right now. Well, if you weren't paying attention, yesterday Bitcoin set a new record high, but today Bitcoin set a new record high, breaking through the $6,100 barrier. Cryptocurrency hit an all-time mark of $6,147, according to CoinDesk, but since that article was put up, about an hour, 2 hours ago, it's hit a new high. Much of the rise can be attributed to another upcoming split in the Bitcoin known as the fork. This will lead to the creation of new cryptocurrency called Bitcoin Gold. Holders of the Bitcoin are hoping to get free Bitcoin Gold when this fork happens. Alex Sunderborg, founding partner of cryptocurrency fund Tetris. We're just supposed to take it for granted that we know about all these cryptocurrency funds that are popping up on Wall Street. I mean, we've mentioned a few over the past weeks here on the Henry Rain Show, but it seems like every week some other Wall Street former head honcho is getting his own fund. But this one, Tetris Capital told CNBC on Friday that the investors were betting on the Bitcoin holding its status despite the split. At the same time, there are rumors trying to reverse its ban on cryptocurrency exchanges, which we've talked about the last couple of weeks. Also, CNBC, always looking for ratings and a way to get some attention, did an online survey. Of course, unscientific, not any pre-selection of the respondents, saying Bitcoin is heading over $10,000. It's been helped by favorable regulation in Japan. And around 57% of the Bitcoin was executed in Japanese yen on Saturday, according to the website CryptoCompare. Now, there's another opinion about this, too, and this courtesy of CryptoCoin News, that the rumors are, and some reporting are, saying that the U.S. markets have started to anticipate the launch of Bitcoin exchange-traded funds. You would think with all these hedge funds and investment funds and venture funds getting started, this is likely. Overseas Bitcoin markets such as Japan and South Korea have significantly matured with more efficient and practical regulatory frameworks, foreshadowing that in the U.S. Hence, the SEC's concern here in the U.S. in regards to the depth of the Bitcoin market and the lack of regulation is starting to be overcome. And one of the prominent investors such as Ari Paul, co-founder of Block Tower Capital, another cryptocurrency hedge fund. You can't throw a rock up in the air without finding a cryptocurrency hedge fund founder or owner falling underneath it. Anyway, he has said that this established by – he is a former Goldman Sachs vice president. In other words, let me back this up because I wasn't very clear on that. There's two principles here to Block Tower Capital. Ari Paul is the co-founder – The other founder is former Goldman Sachs Vice President Matthew Goetz. And so Paul, the first individual I mentioned, quoted, one reason for the current Bitcoin rally, naysaying by Diamond, Arian, Schiller, et cetera, less than 1% of Americans own Bitcoin. Actually, I think statistically it's 0% own Bitcoin. Of the small number of current Bitcoin, well, yes, but that zero is less than 1%. Current Bitcoin holders, very few sell on statements of naysayers, but those naysayers bring general attention. If the naysayers introduce 1 million people to Bitcoin who were previously unaware and just 5% end up buying, it's hugely bullish. All attention is good attention when you're so early in the adoption curve, much like any news is good news for advertising. So let's get the round table into this. And, Leonard, let's start with you since you're the chief technical officer of Byte Federal. What's going on with the fork, and are people going to be getting free alternative coins, Bitcoin, gold? Is it gonna when's it going to happen?
Yeah, I think they're going to see a new coin, maybe potentially even two, and there'll probably be a dramatic sell-off right away, just like we saw with Bitcoin Cash. I'm really expecting a similar occurrence as we saw with Bitcoin Cash, but I'm not so sure if the new coins, or at least Bitcoin Gold, is going to be able to hold as much value as Bitcoin Cash. That's something to be seen.
Now, is there one forks or two forks coming? There's one with Bitcoin Gold and one then with
right.
Segwit 2X implementation?
Yeah, we're just focused on the first one, the Bitcoin Gold. Which
now,
is
what is that one?
That's the one on October 25th.
And what is that?
Technically, it's just a new developer team with some additional ideas. They want to kind of be a second Bitcoin where certain features can be tested on them. You know, I the more critical myself would say, like, they saw what Bitcoin Cash achieved and kind of want to do the same thing all over again. So it's going to be interesting to watch.
Yeah, you apply opportunism there.
Right, okay. Right.
Andy wants to get in on this.
Yeah, it's interesting that on the derivatives or the futures market, Bitcoin Gold is trading around 3 cents a coin.
Yeah, that makes total sense. I mean, we're getting a lot of people actually asking us about what to do with their money because a lot of money actually sits on the exchanges, and you know the safest thing to do obviously is put your money, nevertheless, whether there's a fork or not, into your own self-controlled wallet. That would be something.
Well, then that is a topic we're going to talk about later in the show on how to best safeguard your cash. But let me go back to what you said about the derivatives. Now, you can say they're trading for 3%, or 3 cents, rather, not 3%. But what is that derivative? The derivatives can be a different nature. What are you buying for the 3 cents?
Well, you're pretty much betting on the price of what Bitcoin Gold is going to be when it comes out. So you're buying a futures contract and somebody's selling it. So and right now the going rate is about 3 cents.
What's interesting is for Bitcoin Cash, if you remember, the first futures predicted the price around $400, and Bitcoin Cash kind of is sitting at $300, $400, even that's a couple of months, right, or is it 2 months after?
So 3 cents doesn't make any logical sense to me as a price because 3 cents and it trades for a dollar, then you're – when is the delivery date for that future?
That I don't know, but I think there's and Leonard could probably speak to more than this, but there's many of these side chains that have broken off like Bitcoin Gold that have pretty much – they're worth nothing.
Bitcoin Gold will be on the market in 3 days, and it's on YoBit already on that exchange. So if you just spend all your Bitcoin in YoBit, you'll have your Bitcoin Gold. No problem.
What's it trading on for that exchange?
Same as the futures, 2-3 cents.
Really?
Yeah, but that's how it'll be. But the B2X, the hard fork in November, that one's trading at 900. That one will be Bitcoin.
But that's bubblegum money. Why not put $10 into it if it trades at a dollar, you've got a 30% return on your money.
Well, you know, I think a lot of people are pricing in, like what Alex said and what Leonard spoke to, is they're pricing in the Segwit 2 fork at $900. However, I'm a little leery that may happen just because of what we had spoke for prior to the show about market liquidity and people pulling their money.
Well, you better explain to the audience that wasn't in the room with us.
That's correct. Well, Leonard spoke to it. He goes, you know, the best bet is to pull your money off the exchanges, put it in your own personal wallet, and that gives you access to your
fork, your alternate coin immediately.
But that implies that you're not going to have access to it. So why are you saying that?
Well, look at Bitcoin Cash. Many people still don't have access to their Bitcoin Cash through Coinbase. It's not due out till January, December, and you don't want to wait that long. You want to get in on it, and you want to be able to trade it right away. So
I think when it was 300% more than it is now.
Absolutely. I think it came out around 400 or 500, dipped down, and then shot to 900, and now it's trading at a nice 330, and I like it here. I mean, I'm a buyer here, Bitcoin Cash.
Interesting. Augie, you've been away.
I've been away.
You've missed two record highs while you're at it.
I guess so. I'm just curious. There's nothing... There's nothing like gold in these hills, and the hills are ups and downs and rolling and going in all directions. And if we are heading into an 87 type crash,
then why are we doing that?
Well, when you have a load of crap dumped into the market, that's in the case of 87 mortgages dumped back into the government that had to pick up all of that, and the buyers of those properties did that, and Reagan set that up. And that tipped the whole Dow at that time, and 87 was so close to a major, not just a recession but a depression. We luckily escaped, and for
20% drop in the market.
Yeah, but that was
stock market
one day, and what happened also was that we went from a $4 billion loss of money out of the SNL backup money to a $500 billion cost. If the federal government had to do that, Mr. Seidman.
So what is the parallel today that you say is going to cause the crash in the stock market today?
When you start to play around with the Fed, which is what we're about to see, if it's announced that Janet Yellen, who's been stable, you can be critical of the Fed, but she has stabilized things, and there's an improvement overall in everything, especially...
There's an unwinding of the quantitative easing, the assets that have been
slowing
on the Fed
rates.
Balance sheet, those are being reduced, trying to get back to a more normal situation.
Exactly.
But
that
chairs come and go.
That's true. But you get if you take the chair with three spokes, three legs in it instead of four, you have an uncertain stability there. And that's all this is about.
So what are you afraid that the new Fed chair would do if they would make
I'm not
change.
Afraid of the new Fred chair until I know who it is, and I'm more afraid of the decision making that's going to go into who that person is. That's
why would they not continue the path that the previous two Fed chairs
well, he has it. Made noise, he being the Trump, about not knowing what to do with it. But he doesn't know what to do with anything anyway. He has to have somebody push him in a particular direction, or he just doesn't do
well,
so.
That's okay. We have the deep financial state that are going to be putting their 2 cents into it. So I don't see that we're going to have any radical change in the Fed unless you've got some information.
There's a couple of people that are really talking about spiking the interest rates, and Katie bar the door. So and there's private talk in that direction. So when interest rates jump like in a full point instead of a quarter of a point,
who's talking that?
Well, there's different. I'm not going to name names right now, but there are people saying things like that. It's just a little.
Well, we're at a point now where we're talking about a couple quarter point interest rates jump in a year, and maybe let me give you,
for instance, the tax cuts are coming, right?
Right.
So let's say they say, in order to pay for these tax cuts, we're going to get rid of the income deduction for interest rate for everybody. That'll pay for lots of things. And people sitting on mortgages at whatever rate they are, now lose that deduction. That finances a lot of other money being spent and given some other
way.
Puts a
damper on the housing market,
right.
Which runs all the way through the economy.
This is how you create a mess.
So, but how does that, Andy, how does that translate to cryptocurrency? Because I would think that if you're in the stock market and you're worried about a crash and you're looking for safer places, not that I'm saying this is safer, but alternative places, you can put it into the bonds, but... if interest rates are going up, that's not a good place to be either. But if the market's crashing, the interest rates are coming back down, too. But
maybe
the other
not.
Alternative is you can go into what might be the new, the most high-performing asset there is, in the cryptocurrency and Bitcoin. Why wouldn't that happen?
Well, I think it is. I think the issue in the parallel with 1987 and even 2010, the pullback then, is liquidity in the with the brokerages. These brokerage firms are unregulated. They don't have any rules and guidelines to go by.
And a lot of them are trading these margins, you know, up to 100 to 1, which is just crazy money. And you see them playing with it. Is all it would take is for people to start withdrawing their Bitcoin out of the exchanges to put on their personal wallets, like what Leonard was talking about. And then you have the potential for a critical meltdown, because if the margins get called and the money's not there, then if
panic.
Your money's, yeah, if your money's on that exchange, you could just kiss it goodbye because you don't own it.
Leonard, explain to the audience what the personal wallet is. Why is it different? We may know, we may take it for granted that listeners do, but go ahead and explain a little more.
Well, right, if you think of the blockchain as being a distributed network, then the way you participate is either directly by having the same software client, if you will, that connects to the rest of the blockchain and downloads the entire blockchain. Every time new transactions get processed, you basically, your little program, your wallet, is participating in that. If you don't run a program like that, which most people probably don't, then you buy Bitcoin through a third party, interestingly enough, which is probably an exchange or some other place online, and they will be the that will be the safeguard for your Bitcoin. So you basically let your Bitcoin sit in someone else's pocket. If something happens to that particular place, like we saw with Mt. Gox, then your Bitcoin will be gone, and there's no way for you to recover them. So it's definitely a prudent way to at least keep a substantial amount of your Bitcoin on a hard drive wallet, or your own computer, or maybe even a paper wallet. And not leave all of them basically with another party, where, like Andy said, if something happens in that particular exchange, or some of these little brokers that are over leveraged explode, you know, take your Bitcoin with them. But I think people who are trading online and have been for a longer period of time, they have gone through probably personally through some of these folding exchanges, and are probably really at this point, I hope, smart enough to keep not all of their money on.
If people do that, they're not able to make a trade until after they move it from their hardware wallet to the
exchange.
That's
right. If you want to do a trade, you basically have to move the money.
And how much time? How time consuming is that?
Just 10 minutes in case of Bitcoin. Okay. So
Alex, you don't get to sit out this discussion over there, second his fan base. someone comes to you to become a client, so tell me again what kind of clients you have.
I have people sending money to other countries, buying stuff online.
Well, but how do they come to you? Why do they come to you?
They need help either creating a wallet, finding a wallet, where to buy it, how to buy it, how to use ATM.
So let's just make up a name that came to you and asked. Let's call him, I don't know, Augie. What advice would you give Augie? Because he said he wanted to get started. Where do you start him out?
Okay, first thing I would tell him, I would say, you know, do you have an email address yet? And he says yes. Or okay, and if that email is safe, and if you know that if nobody else knows it, we use it. If not, we'll create a new one, because you don't want anyone to know your email. And then we would go to an exchange and then create an account. And if he's going to put in thousands, what we would do is we would buy him on the exchange and then create a wallet on his laptop or desktop, and then send him.
How do you do that?
You can go to, like, for all of them are different, but for example, like Neo, you can go to neo.com, and then they have the whole thing there. It's like a three
different wallet. Just for that currency?
Yes.
So you do a separate wallet for each currency?
Yeah, and also that's the big problem, in my opinion, because now you have, like, the Ledger Nanos and all them, but they have, like, four or five currencies on them. I think one set had over 100 on there now. So all this technology, the wallet technology, I think it's all being updated now, so you could have one on one little piece of hardware wallet. But right now I don't think you could have all of them on one.
Now, what about a hardware wallet?
Yeah, I fully recommend those. Most of those are offline, and you could just basically just set it up through your laptop or your computer, and it sends it from the computer to there.
Yeah, if you go to Amazon and search for hardware wallets, you find actually really nice products on there.
The only downside is they don't hold every coin.
Yeah, actually, that's in anticipation of today's show, I left a message for hardware wallet retailer. He hasn't responded yet. But what happens when you lose your hardware wallet, like you lose a regular wallet?
Now we're back to gold, the discussion on precious metals. So that's where the coins are quite similar. If you lose them, you lose them. One other alternative would be to create paper wallets where you send your money to a public address, and you keep that paper or cardboard or whatever it is, or maybe even etched in metal, and put in a safety deposit box. That's just another way of doing it. You could have multiple safety deposit boxes.
So you've got your address where the Bitcoin is, per se. So is that address is being kept on the hardware wallet?
Yes. So basically, if you think about it, it's just public and private key, right? As long as you are in charge, if you own your own private key, whatever public address is attached to it, that's where your money is.
And for people that don't know this, the address is a real long stringing of digits. What is it, like 32 digits or something
right,
like that?
Right, and the private key is even longer. And the private keys, if you think in the terms of bank accounts, is your password, and the public key or the public address is basically your bank account number.
Okay. So then you could write, though, while you have your hardware wallet and you're storing it there, because that makes enables it easier to make a transaction online, right? Because you plug it in,
correct,
and you can make a transaction. Correct. But you can also write it on something, paper or whatever.
Yeah, you can print it out, too.
But do you have to make a change to the paper every time you make a change to the hardware wallet?
The hard part about the paper wallet is that you have to then re-import your private key into some electronic device.
So you're to the point now that maybe you need two hardware wallets, the one that you're going to be trading actively with, and then the one that where you're going to store your vast millions of Bitcoin.
Yeah.
Okay.
Question on that. Can you store the same Bitcoin on two different hard wallets, two different, like, treasures?
I haven't done that yet, but in theory, as long as the keys are the same, I think though that the hardware wallets generate new private keys and new addresses, so probably not. I don't think you can just copy it over, but that's something you could do with paper wallets, right? You could just take the same, make five copies, put it in five different deposit boxes all around the country, and in 200 years tell your kids where to look.
Now we're telling people that a great way to get started though is to go to a Byte Federal ATM, and so Alex, if you get somebody like that walks in, says, hey, I want to get some Bitcoin out of this Byte Federal ATM, how do you start them off? Because there's no wallet on the Byte Federal ATM, correct?
You can print a paper wallet. We do that.
You can print a piece of paper.
But it's just a piece of paper. Yeah, you don't want to keep that, keep your hundred thousands of dollars on there.
Yeah, wad it up in your pocket.
can I say
go
this?
Go through the wash.
The most beneficial factor of creating a private wallet, I recommend this to anybody. If you buy NEO, or cost coins, or coins that pay out dividends. Like, for example, if you have 1,000 NEO, you're getting paid in gas. If you believe them on exchange, you won't get paid your gas every 30 days. And also, the Binance exchange will pay you your gas. So what happens is you have 1,000 NEO on the Bittrex exchange, they're collecting gas, the coin, and they're keeping your money.
So yeah, I think you're taking this to a whole another technical level for the listener out there.
I didn't mean to digress it. But
let's stay with the original question.
Mm-hmm.
Someone comes to you. They say, I want to use this ATM here to get started. How do you start them there? You walk them over there, and what happens?
I ask them what is their use for. They say, hey, I want to trade. I help them create a Bittrex account, or if they say, I just want to send money, I do Coinbase.
Okay, so you create the account before you walk them over to the ATM.
Yes.
So once the account's created, what do you do when you go over to the ATM?
You have to use your ID to register with the ATM, and the ATM basically has a little tutorial. And then after that, you have to register your cell phone, and you're all in.
Okay. So then you obtain the Bitcoin from the ATM, you transfer it to the account you helped them create. All right. And
you take a little barcode. You just scan on the ATM, and it goes straight to your account.
Okay. What happens when they've had the fast appreciation in the Bitcoin they put in the account from the ATM, and they want to go back to the ATM and get money out of it?
They just hit the sell option, and they use the same app like Coinbase. And what you do is you'd send basically the Bitcoin to Leonard, and he sends you the cash.
You send it
to
the
Byte Federal.
No, you don't send it to Leonard.
Leonard.
Send it to
sorry.
The ATM.
To the machine. Yeah,
to the machine. Because you're not doing it on an exchange. You're basically doing it like P2P, in my opinion.
Correct, yes. It goes
by what to what?
P2P, person to person.
Peer-to-peer.
Or P2C,
right. It's a sell against us holding the coins. Yeah.
All right. Okay, well, we've covered a lot of ground there. We still have a lot more ground to cover. And coming up on the other side, we'll explore some more about this topic, the Wall Street involvement. There's a little bit more to cover there. There is topics that Andy wants to bring up. He has some interesting observations about that. And we will do all that and more coming up right after this break. Trying to get into Bitcoin but don't know where to start? Byte Federal ATMs make it easy. Safe, secure, and reliable, a Byte Federal ATM introduces you to cryptocurrency investing with a method you're familiar with at a real physical location. If you've ever used a bank ATM, then you're ready to step up to a Byte Federal ATM and start building your digital assets. Located throughout Florida and Georgia, there's a Byte Federal ATM near you. Go to ByteFederal.com to find a location for you. That's ByteFederal.com, and you'll find a real phone number, a real email, and real people you've heard live on the Henry Rain Show.
It just ain't the same, always a change. New days are strange, is the world insane? If love and peace are so strong, why are the pieces of love that don't belong? Nations dropping bombs, chemical gases filling lungs of little ones with ongoing suffering. As the youth are young, so ask yourself, is the loving really gone?